2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then maketh me glad? Who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? He had determined himself that he's not going to come in heaviness with all kinds of heavy things to lay on them. You know, and remember, in 1 Corinthians, there have been a lot of things, problems coming up with the people in Corinth. And Paul had addressed them regarding these things in a very stern way. And he doesn't want to make them sorry again, or grieve them. They're saying, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And, you know, in life, there are many times, I mean, look here, it's like the teacher who is pleased with his pupil can be the same one who, in the interest of the pupil, pushes and pushes and causes grief, or expresses grief, saying that they, you know, oh, you're disappointing me, you know, and or, oh, you need, you know, that's not correct. This is the way it needs to be. By correction and other means, when a teacher is grieved with the pupil can get very down about it. But at the same time, the teacher may not be fully grieved with the pupil. He's just expressing it for their benefit. The truth may be that they're very pleased with the pupil, and therefore the expression is only meant to help improve them. Verse 3, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Verse 3, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly to you. For if I have caused... Verse 5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was afflicted of many. So that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. And to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So this little section, he speaks here, and some of the things I was sort of touching on with the opening, when he came to them, he did not want them to have sorrow. He didn't want to be made sorry. By coming to them, he wants to rejoice in them. He doesn't want to come and see them afraid of him or grieved before he even gets there. So he's writing these things ahead of time because he wants to let them know, hey, I'm coming to you ready to rejoice, not looking for faults. You know, the situation had been such at the time that they needed rebuke, but he wants to let them know that he's not intending to come to them in heaviness or, in much affliction and anguish of heart. His heart was in anguish. He had confidence in them all, that his joy, that he would rejoice in all of them. Is what he was saying. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not to grieve them, but they could know how much he loved them. And sometimes it's a difficult line to walk between, you know, people say, well, it's love, tough love. Tough love doesn't always feel at all like love to the one on the receiving end. I've certainly observed that. So the one exercising the tough love needs to be mindful of that. You know, a lot of times we want to make it all on the person who is in need of correction. But the person who knows better is always needs to be more responsible. And they are to be held more responsible, and more is expected of them. And that's just the way it is. The greater, they're always, you know, if you're better and you know better, then more is expected of you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part. So I was saying before that, you know, I may, if I were to chastise one of my children for something that I say, why did you do that? You know, I become critical and begin to upbraid them. You know, if they don't know that I love them, let's say they're not, you know, as familiar with me. My children are much more familiar with me than the Corinthians had necessarily been with Paul. You know, and all this correction and chastisement can feel like a lot of, you know, it does feel like they, what, you know, have we grieved him so much? Doesn't he love us? But as I said, a student may upbraid, a teacher may upbraid his student, because part of the work displeases him, while the overall, progress of the student causes the teacher much joy. But in part, he's grieved, and maybe he makes a big to-do about the faulty part. Because there's always the faults that we notice. You know, it's rarely that anyone comes up to someone else and goes through the list of all their, you know, all the good things about them. Oh, there's so many good things about you. Let me go through all your assets as a person. And that is very rare. Usually people want to go over faults. Let's list the faults of you. So the punishment that had been dealt in Corinth was sufficient. And he says, so that, you know, he's been punished, whatever that was, you know, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. You know, let him have a rest. You know, people do things. It's really cruel.